Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
So David, he says, man, these defy the armies of the living God. He says, I'm going to go and take him just like I took the lion and the bear. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he, now this is who he's trusting in, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Saul goes, man, you know, I'm not going to do it, so if you're willing to, that's awesome. Think of all the time that God's doing that, wanting to prepare you and me for the battles that lie ahead. If but we could realize that when we get together like this and we sit here and we open our Bibles and we start reading, that God might be preparing you and me for what lays ahead tomorrow that you don't know anything about and I don't know anything about. That's radical. But I believe the Lord's wanting to do that. And that he wants us to be ready for when that circumstance, whatever that circumstance is, comes up. And he uses the testings and the trials and the difficulties that happen to help to develop us, to build us up so that while we get in that, we're reliant on him, not on us. But that we would be preparing ourselves. Okay, this time I had to deal with a lion. This other time I had to deal with a bear. I think David was a man of courage. I think certainly he had the emotion of fear just like anybody else would. But it didn't immobilize him, you see? He moved forward in it. He didn't get stuck. He moved forward in it. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So his total trust was there. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. He's trying to walk, and you know, you and I can't walk in somebody else's stuff. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work to walk around in somebody else's gear. We need to be comfortable with who we are and how God's designed us. David basically ends up saying, and David said to Saul, I can't walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David just took them off. It really isn't his. It's not, he just doesn't need that. This is somebody else's stuff, and he doesn't need that. He doesn't need all that. He didn't wear any of that when he was dealing with the bear or with the lion. He didn't need any of that. He needed just what he came with, and that was his slingshots, you know, his sling and his little bag that he carried his stones in. He took his staff, his shepherd staff, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. So I thought he was a man of faith. If all he needs is 1 smooth stone, why is he grabbing 5? Well, in certain ways, it's pretty wise because he knows he's got Goliath he's got to go up against, and he knows that Goliath's got 4 brothers, and this could turn into something more than just Goliath. He's going to be prepared for what else might come. That would be 5 of them. I think it's interesting that just 1 for each of them. No more. 1 for each one of them. Man, that's some trusting right there. Number 5 is a number of God's grace. Certainly, he is relying on that to get him through this situation. God's unmerited favor toward him. So he put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came, began to draw near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was just disgusted that this little guy would come out, for he was only a youth. He wanted some kind of a good battle there, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistines said, you know, he's not this scarred up guy of war. You know what I mean? This is just some kid that's come out. It's like, God, you got to be kidding me. He says to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks, your little shepherd's staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. It says, you know, the Lord of hosts, the commander of all the forces of the universe. Again, who is it that you are going to rely on when you face the difficulty? If you're relying on you, yes, the limitations are very real. If you're relying on your own abilities, yes, you're very limited. But if you're going to rely on the one true living God, the commander of all the forces of the universe, if that's who's fighting this battle through you, surely you are victorious before you ever get started. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And again, what is the objective here? He's wanting to draw attention to God. He's wanting God to get the glory. David's not trying to build a name for himself. He's trying to let people see who his God is. This is important. This is significant to you and to me in the midst of my battle and your battle, the things that we face. If we're looking to this to promote ourselves or to draw attention to ourselves, then we're missing the whole objective. This is to bring honor and glory to our God, the one true living God. Again, I was so taken back when I realized, wow, you mean we're all not being, this isn't what everybody's doing here? I thought we were all really being trained to do, you know, I still live and think like that. When I talk with people and people ask me something, I answer them with exuberance and enthusiasm about God and about how God can help them with their situation. Because I know, because I've lived out and I've experienced, God can do that. God can help you. But you and I have to yield ourselves to God and let God have his way. Let God do what he needs to do. Let God do the necessary surgery in our lives that needs to happen sometimes. And it's painful sometimes. Yes, it is. But the ultimate healing and victory in it is so well worth it. We have to yield ourselves over, let God have his way. Well, certainly this Philistine's not going to do that. He wants to fight it out. David says, man, you've defied the one true living God, and we're done. It's not going to last any longer. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. Isn't that great? How does God save, really? How did you get saved? How did I get saved? Man, you drop to your knees and you humble yourself to the one true living God. Everybody gets in the same way. Everybody gets in the same way. That's how God saves. Man, not by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was. Again, would you notice with me the latter part of verse 47 before we go on? Who does the battle belong to? Whose battle is it? You think God can fight his own battles? I think so. We get caught in it, don't we? We get caught in it. We're there. We're part of what it might be happening in and through. It might involve us, but God is still the one that's at work. Man, that's just significant. And so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. But David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. there is no sword in his hand of David. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, they're all hiding behind this big image of something. They're all hiding behind that. But in and of themselves, they're nothing. They're just hiding behind this image. You know, I had someone, you know, a while back describe to me, you know, Satan as the paper tiger. I really like that description of it. You know, it looks scary in the shadows, but it's really just a paper tiger. There's no teeth. There's no, you know, again, it's the ability of Satan to try to deceive us even through our own flesh, that having been crucified with Christ, if we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, we're dead in that sense, and that flesh sin nature is to be put to death. And so Satan's always trying to resurrect that, and he's trying to, you know, yell at us and get us to respond in this way and freak us out and get us to run. I like that idea again too about the roaring lion. The roaring lion is the one that's the older lion that gets out and jumps out and scares the deer and the gazelle and roars at them and scares them. And they freak out and they go another direction only to fall into the trap that had been set for them. And so there's all the other little younger lions with the good sharp teeth are jumping on, pouncing on the gazelle and the deer as they've, because, but the other one, if they would have just kept running, really wasn't going to be dangerous to them. It's just the loud roaring, but there's really no teeth in it. Do you realize Satan has nothing on you? Do you realize that though, really? That Satan has nothing on you and nothing on me? You've been washed and cleansed as a Christian in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of all your sin. Satan's got nothing on you. And you know me even just telling you this, even though you know it, but just even by reminder, this just angers him to no end because it's the simple truth. He's got nothing on you. He's got nothing on me. But the lie that he brings to you and to me is that this fear that you might be exposed for something. For what? God knows what kind of a deal he got in all of us. None of us are some great bargain for the Lord. I mean, you know, we are what we are. We're sinners. But we've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're forgiven. He's got nothing on us. But he tries to, yeah, get us, come on, you know, and get us all stirred up. So then we start jumping around, start bing, bang, bang, bing, bing, bang, like a pinball bouncing all over the place. Man, we just got to stand our ground in the Lord, trust in him. I love the words of faith and the strong words of faith that David used in verses 46 through 47. Man, he just really stood on it, man. I'm trusting in God. I'm going to move forward, letting God get the victory in and through my life. Do you realize, will you let God just get the victory? God is a victor already in all of this, but you got to let him continue to have his way in your life, that he might continue to take that ground that Satan wants to take back over and over again. He's a liar and a thief. He came to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin and death. You know, oh death, where is thy victory? Where's thy sting? It's done. Kind of cool how the enemy, the weapons that the enemy has, end up and wants to utilize against us. Think about what he did with Jesus through the cross, thinking that by killing Jesus, he was going to be a victor. Satan thinking, but the instrument, think about this, the instrument that Satan used ended up really bringing the victory for you and me. Satan taking an instrument, thinking he would be victorious, and a weapon that would kill Jesus, thinking that he's going to do that, ends up being turned and becomes really the weapon against all of what he's ever trying to accomplish, because that shed blood brings forgiveness for us, makes us right, and we're no longer bound by sin and death, but we've been set free to live a life here on this earth and then on into eternity. That's radical. So the weapon, the cross, Jesus used for victory. Same here. That thing that he was threatening David with, David just took it out and lopped his head right off. That's so great. Now men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And then Saul said, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of his army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" He's so disoriented and stuff. It's been a while, maybe since David's been over there playing music with him or anything. He's so disoriented, he doesn't even really recognize or remember exactly who David is. And he's asking, "Abner, who is this guy? As your soul lives, O king, I don't know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." And then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the head of the Philistine was in his hand. He wasn't going to let that thing go. He dragged that thing all over the place with him. I think that's so great. And, there's something right about that, man. He had victory, and he walked around letting it be seen that he had victory over that which was trying to destroy and defile. Now, what a great thing. You see, this is what's exciting to me about what we get to hear on Sunday morning about some testimony of that's almost like holding the head of Goliath out there. It's almost like just hanging the head of Goliath out there. Man, this is what my God's done. I think that's just something victorious and powerful about that. It's exciting to me. It's encouraging. Man, how awesome. Then Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And so David answered, "I'm the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite." If you'll notice, just one last thing and we'll close out. In verse 53, this will be our last closing thought on this tonight, but even though it was one person, David, that wrought the victory, wasn't it? David did that battle. David wrought the victory. And he went out there and he slew the enemy. That's all true. We see the same thing that Jesus did for us the same way. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. But what's so great is, do you notice all of the people of God got to go in and plunder and take of the benefits of the spoil of the victory? You see, you and I are the beneficiaries of that. We get to take and enjoy the spoil of victory. In other words, this really gives us a picture of what it means to be, as Romans says, maybe 7:13-ish, where we get to be more than conquerors. More than a conqueror. This is a good illustration of that. How, man, we can go in, we get to, even though it wasn't something we did, but Jesus did for us, we get to enjoy the benefits of all of that. Isn't that great? We're the beneficiaries of that victory that Jesus wrought. 7:37, Romans 7:37. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves, just as David went in and fought that battle. How big is your God? How big is the problem? What is it that's plaguing you? What is it that is the biggest struggle? And I tell you, all you need is one smooth stone. I've been in many difficult times in ministry and personally. I've been in many difficult situations on a multiple of levels. And I've, even as recent times in the last couple years, as we've been working through a lot of details and a lot of situations with even with our radio things and stuff and the things that we've been doing. And, you know, people would say something to me, and oftentimes that's what I would tell them. I'm just looking for one smooth stone. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, it seems insurmountable. How's it going to work out? Don't know. But I'm just looking for one smooth stone. Basically, what I'm saying is, by saying this, I'm just watching and waiting for God to move. Because God's going to do it. God's going to be victorious. We're not fighting for ourselves on any of these things whenever we're doing things. There's something bigger at stake. And I think that's what's so important. I think that in my mind's eye, and from my heart, and from my perspective as an overseer, I think the church that I've been called to pastor, the church that I've been called to serve, and my Lord Jesus Christ who I serve, does not slumber nor sleep. My God. My God's alive and he's moving. And I don't care what the status of the things are all around me. That's not for me to be concerned about. What's for me to be concerned about is keeping my focus on God. And I've not been called to serve in some sedentary thing that just is not have any exuberance for what God wants to do. The battle rages on. And I just believe for us as Christians, we just got to stay engaged in it. Sometimes it's going to take every ounce of everything you've got to keep your head in the game with God. I mean, that's the way it is for me sometimes, just to keep my focus and to stay on task with what God's put in front of me. But it's worth it, because when it's all said and done, there's just a few words that I want to hear, and that as Christians, I know you want to hear. Because one day when we breathe our last, inhale on this side, exhale on the other side, and all we want to hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in." Do you know, if you just grasp that for just that brief moment, it makes everything else just fade into the backdrop. And Jesus Christ is the answer. He was the answer. As we look at David relying on the living God, God was the answer then. God's the answer now. It's not going to be any different. And I just think we have got something out in front of us. We've got an opportunity in these last days. Man, stay in the game. Your marriage matters. Your family matters. Your kids, your lives matter in the Lord. And the Lord can use you for his glory and for his purpose. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the Word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's Word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process. And you know, ultimately, we all are going to have a physical death, but spiritually, you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God, and that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make himself real to you, just like he's done in my life, as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and he loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want the gift of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus,
my Lord now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I just ask that, Lord, as I start this new life, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.